This is Will Friedle from Pod Meets World. Let's be honest. The 90s gave us some great things. The music, totally rad. The fashion, so fly. Home decor, that's a different story. In HGTV's new competitive series, Totally 90s House, two teams of iconic TV stars take on two homes frozen in time. Paired with HGTV experts, they'll turn dated spaces into fresh modern homes and compete for the ultimate bragging rights. Goodbye, honey oak cabinets. Hello, 21st century. Totally 90s House. Special series premiere starts August 26th at 9, 8 central on HGTV.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we're back. You know, John, I think you'll find the answer to that question in Matthew chapter 23, where the Lord's dealing with the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders there.
Okay. Yeah, he did say that.
Are you there? Are you there, Lynn?
Yes. I'm listening.
Okay, because it seems like you're fading in and out. Okay. You'll find the answer to that in Matthew chapter 23, where he's talking to the religious leaders, and he tells them they knew better because of that, because they purposely were leading people to the gates of hell, then their damnation, in fact, he uses the word, their damnation will be the greater. So
damnation will be the greater.
Yep. Let me read here. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore, you will receive the greater damnation, okay? So he goes on now. That's a stronger word than condemnation, okay? Condemnation means you've been condemned. The damnation means sentence being carried out. So there you go.
And that's Matthew chapter 23,
verses 14.
Verse 14.
Well, actually, he gives you six woes in there.
In verse 14?
No, in the entire chapter there.
Okay.
But listen, one woe is more than you need. And when you get six woes, you're in more trouble than you know.
That's right. Oh, wow, great. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate John also, and thank you so much. To both of you.
Well, we thank you, and God bless you for taking the time to call us.
Yes, absolutely. We'll have a blessed one.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, sounds like a sweet lady, John.
Oh, yeah.
216-901-0933. We're getting some good calls tonight here. And so here, let me pick it up where I left off over there, because this is Wayne Root. He's got a hold on something here. He knows what he's talking about. Now, Republicans will never win again. So the upcoming midterms are the whole ball of wax, the whole enchilada, the whole kitchen sink, the whole kit and caboodle, everything including the future of America, the future of our children, the future of the middle class, the future of capitalism is riding upon these midterms. This means we have to play rough and tough. That means we have to throw caution to the wind. Democrats don't play by the rules. They play anything goes. That makes us, and they make up the rules. It's time for President Trump and the GOP to make up rules. So what's the game plan? President Trump needs to declare a national security emergency for elections. I totally agree. What do you think, John?
Well, Pastor Ernie, it may be we got to see how this plays out. There are many things that have changed since the last election. For example, here in Texas, we gained five seats that are going to, unless they're stolen, they're going to be Democrat, a Republican. Same in Florida and many of the other southern states. So there's a good chance of gaining numbers of House seats. And then the Senate, the Democrats seem to be committing suicide. And like for Trump now, he's using the postal office to block these mass,
Yeah, but that crazy federal judge has put a block on that. She's going against the U.S. Supreme Court.
Hopefully that'll be settled in the court before the election. That they have to, and that's another thing, Pastor Ernie. That should be done immediately, a new type of guidelines for handling these lower court. They're like tyrants. They're activists, and they can wreak havoc. And we, quite frankly, I think we had enough of them, Pastor Ernie.
They need to be removed.
But they can only be removed by impeachment, but they somehow can maybe be censored. They can be, like, furloughed for, like instead of being put in prison, they can't sit on the bench for, like, 6 months. There has to be something done so they can't act like this.
Absolutely. All right, the phone lines are open. I saw that some people... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that one judge... In was it the district court there in D.C. where they were going to file charges, impeachment charges against her, and she immediately reversed the what she was doing.
Yeah.
Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah,
and that's what it takes.
Probably what's needed. The House should be, because even if they're not removed from office, you expose them for what they are. It's like a trial where all the information will come out about them.
Absolutely. All right, let's go to Scott. Scott, you're in the air.
Yep. Hey, Pastor, just want to make a couple comments and I'll hang up. First of all, that one caller that just called about asked you about the different degrees of hell.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend of mine, a pastor, he's passed away now, but he used to tell me, he said, you know, there's only one thing that I need to know about hell. You know what that is?
You don't want to go there, right?
Right.
Not going there.
Yeah.
It should be irrelevant to the Christian. Also, I wanted to, correct me if I'm wrong here, because I don't want to cast aspersions falsely here. There's a lot of, all the hoopla concerning the passing of Dolly Parton. I personally was not that big of a fan, but that's neither here nor there. They asked her one time, and she came out and said she was basically, I call it, she was pro-death. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. And she...
I heard her say that. And I just wanted to say this, if that's true. You can sing all the Christian bluegrass and Amazing Grace and song, and you can sing all that all you want. If you're pro-death, I really seriously question, or I have doubts about you being a born-again Christian or you being a saved person, because you cannot be, and this is for anybody that's listening, if you go out to 50 states and half of Canada or halfway around the world on the internet, you cannot be pro-death and a Christian.
I totally agree.
Incompatible.
Agree. Right.
Okay, so that goes for anybody. All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome. I totally agree. You can't do that. Now, I never heard her say that. If I'd heard her say that, I would never, ever listen to her, okay? Because as far as I'm concerned, if you're pro-death, you're the lowest of the lowest, okay? Again, remember, what God brought the harshest punishment on a people, the harshest, he brought them, he reduced them to cannibalism, to eating each other because of for killing their children. So, all righty.
Pastor Ernie, that's the same thing with the quote, the First Lady. She wrote that book, and they put her on tour with it, and I heard my own ears how... It's her body, it's a woman's body, and they can do what they want with it. She was hardcore pro-abortion.
I know, that's why I don't have any use for her at all.
Right. No use. I don't want to see her. I don't want to hear from that woman. Why did she have to write a book and say that, Pastor Ernie? keep her mouth shut. But
because
no.
Here's my opinion on that. My opinion on that, it's the same thing with, remember, George W. Bush, his wife and his two daughters.
Yeah, his wife, yes.
Okay,
yes.
My opinion is they're told by their so-called advisors, look, if you, this will help get some Democrat votes, because some of these Democrats will say, well, at least the wife is pro-death and the daughters. I have a feeling that that's the reason. I mean, look, John, could you live at home if your wife was pro-death? Could you live at home with her?
It would be real difficult, Pastor Ernie. I mean, really difficult. Very difficult. It'd be almost impossible, especially if they were hardcore. Forget it.
Absolutely. There you go. It would you can never. I can't be around a pro.
Just listen to what you said there about the Republicans. Do you ever hear of a Democrat? Any of them, the Democrats, their wives, they're the presidents. Do you ever hear them writing a book or coming out and saying that she's pro-life?
No.
Right. Republicans.
Yeah, well, see, I think that's part of their strategy. I could not possibly ever live with a pro-death woman. Couldn't do it. They're unclean. Read Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 43. They're unclean. So, all righty. Let's take Debbie. Debbie, you're in the air.
Hello, pastors. How are you tonight?
We're okay. How are you, Debbie?
Debbie, God bless
you. I'm hurting, but I'll get past it. Hey, a couple things. You mentioned before how we need strong leaders, and it got me to thinking about how we need not only strong leaders as leaders, we need strong people in this country. Can you imagine when my parents, okay, and I'm in my 70s, when my parents were going through World War II and dragging wagons around collecting scrap metal and turning in rubber and, having to ration gas and sugar and flour. And you have people singing the blues now because gas costs what it costs. And I don't know, I was just thinking about this. My first job, I made $1.60 an hour, my first job. And gas cost 25 cents a gallon. Now, I'm not going to sit here and do the math, but just before I retired, I was making making $28 an hour, and maybe gas at that time cost $2.99. I'm just saying that we make a lot more, and yeah, things have gone up in price, but we're making so much more now. I think people just have their priorities out of whack. They don't know how to budget, and they're spending their money frivolously on stupid stuff that they don't have it left for the necessities. And I can't even imagine that if it came to it and the government said, you know, like, we need people to save up their steel cans and whatever they have and give it back to us so we can melt it down to make weapons. You know, that's what they had to do during World War II.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They don't do that. You know, they're such wimps.
I remember as a child, the paper rag man used to come along collecting
papers.
Absolutely.
Yep. Used to come down the street, and ours came down the street with a horse-drawn carriage, saying, paper rags, paper
You're right.
rags.
Yep, yeah. You're right on, Debbie. You're right on. Yeah, we had a big white horse, and I remember as a kid looking at that horse and saying to myself, how, because he had the blinders on him, how can a horse see where he's going? Okay, I didn't realize the horse could see straight ahead. But,
Yeah, and we probably had the same one.
Yeah.
who knows how many there were around.
Yeah, right.
The other thing I was thinking about is during the last election, do you remember the line that we have to make this too big to rig?
Right, absolutely.
And I think Laura Trump was in charge of overall with the elections and stuff, not the elections themselves, but getting the word out and the candidates and all that, you know. And I just had this thought rolling around in my head, and I wish I had my notebook here with me right now. But start thinking about all the things that are a topic right now. Like, if you would write out a pamphlet and it would say, are you in favor of capitalism? That's all it is. Are you in favor? And you don't answer it for these people. You just, it's almost like a track. And you just consistently go down the line with common sense questions. And let this person that you're giving this to answer it in their own mind. And at the very end, when you flip it over, it'll say, if you answered, you know, yes to these questions, you should be voting Republican. I mean, it's going to tell them how to vote.
Well, Debbie, you know what? I've heard people say, well, they're all the same, so I'm not voting. No. By not voting, you're voting. By not voting for the good person, you're voting for the bad. And, you know, I can tell you, yeah. if I have people that I know that say, well, I'm not going to do it. I say, fine. Listen, I'll tell you what. From here on out, I don't really want to have any association with you. If you're that kind of person that you're going to do that, and by what you're going to do, you're going to allow that vote. You want to take away the freedoms of my family. You want to allow us to get, because the opposition would love to kill us. Believe me, if they could, they would. Okay. And so people don't understand. We're talking about communism here. We're talking about 90 million killed in China, 60 million killed in Russia. How many in Cuba, North Korea?
How many in Iran?
And they would do that here in a heartbeat. Look, if they'll kill innocent babies and laugh and party over it, the Democrats, these people are, they're evil. And they're not like the old Democrats. These are devil-filled, Satan-filled people out there today.
Absolutely.
I got to move on, Debbie, but God bless you. Thanks for calling.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Maureen. Maureen, you're in the air.
Hi, good evening. I have to laugh because my mother was going to give us to the ragman when we misbehaved, and then really hit me funny. I go back that far, too. But where I'm calling from, I just want to thank you for praying for the state of Massachusetts, because that's where I live. And boy, did we need prayer. And you're the first one I've heard so far with Joe to pray for this state, and it's so bad. She's so bad.
I know there's so many good people there in Massachusetts, I know. But your state legislators, they're hell-bent. Those people, they deserve hellfire. They need to repent what they've done. And just like in New York, that is pure evil. And you know that comes right from God's Word, the Bible. God's Word, the Bible, makes it very, very clear. Those people, they deserve hellfire. That's what God says. So, there you go.
Okay. And I just wanted to thank you for praying for this state, because we just really need it. But, you know, there's a ton of high-rise buildings being built. I mean, one after the other. And I almost feel like the ground's not going to be able to hold these buildings. I almost feel like judgment's going to be on this state because of what's going on here.
Absolutely.
And also, I want to thank you for helping me make a decision not to get the COVID shot along with my daughter. I bet a lot of people didn't get it because they listened to your program. And because other than that, I wouldn't have had the knowledge of what it was all about and not, you know, how bad it was. But
we've had a lot of people tell us that. And so, you know, praise the Lord that we were able to get the word out on that. You know, we told people 3 weeks before the very first person took the first shot, we were on here telling all the test animals died. They all died. Then the fellow that brought that out, we had him telling people, this is not a vaccine. This is a bioweapon. He invented it for the government, for the military. And so, and yet people, yeah.
A family member of mine was forced to take it or they were going to lose their job, and they were with the company probably 40 years. They were called in. We know you know, you really love your family and everything, but if you don't get the shot, we're going to have to let you go. And he did. He got the shot. He got one. And then after that, that was the end of it. Nobody needed to get them. But just force people so they didn't lose their job. And that's massive at a very well-known restaurant in the state of Massachusetts, but I'm not going to say what the restaurant's name is. It wouldn't be my place to do so. But there's one other thing that I've been going to call about, because Jeffrey from Massachusetts, Jeffrey from Chelsea.
Yeah, I hear it. Yeah, he calls every now and then.
Yeah, but the funny thing is I haven't seen him for a long time, and we were both baptized in a Baptist church on a Friday night in the cold of December. Just him and I, we were both water baptism, and for him to be, I hear him come on your program, I said, you know, God does have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, it was only him and I and that were baptized that night, and it was cold. Believe me, it was cold.
Wow. Now, you know,
I haven't seen him since.
Let me ask you, Maureen, because I preached in a church there, but it's been so long ago up there, the Patriot pastor. And I'm trying to remember the pastor's name. It's been several years back, but he's a tall fella, and he dressed up in a revolutionary.
You mean gave out tracts?
Yeah.
Yeah. All of a sudden, Whitestone. If his last name was Whitestone, I know his name well now that I need to know it. He was everywhere. He was. Constantly giving out tracts. He wore sometimes repent, and he was outside anything that, like a big game where there was crowds. From what I understand, he moved to Florida, but he was up here for a long time. I wish I could remember his name.
Back in the 90s, we did a reenactment. Of the Lexington on the Green, the shot heard around the world. And I was there, and we did a reenactment. They had all of these fellows dressed as in the patriotic Revolutionary War clothes. And it was...
It probably wasn't the same person I'm speaking of then, because I don't think... It was Bob Whitestone. He used to go around everywhere giving out tracts. He was standing there. So this is someone else, and I might be... And I can't remember the name, but there was a man that would get it on the Washington Street in Boston and preach.
This guy was the pastor of a good-sized church. It was an old building, a very old church building.
Right in Boston?
Yeah.
Well, we have Park Street Church, where the America was the first song. America, the song, was sung on the steps of Park Street Church near Boston Common. No, I don't know. Maybe I'll go way, way back. Before.
Well, thanks for calling. Listen, pray that we can get enough support out of Massachusetts to stay on the air out there. I have to evaluate. I just got a call today from people in Denver wanting to know if we ever come back on the radio out there. Listen to us. You can listen to us stream. People listen to us over the internet. A lot of them that...
Oh, that's what happened Wednesday night. Your program didn't come through on the radio. I couldn't pick up your show the whole night. And I tried a different radio in the house. I said, no, it's not my radio. You didn't come through at all. You didn't broadcast on WEZE Wednesday night.
All righty.
So I go on the internet, and I found you there. It didn't come through. There was no broadcast from what's right, what's left.
Okay, thank you for telling me. I did not know. Listen, I'm going to give you a phone number. If you could, when it happens again, call this number to let me know. Are you able to write, do you have a pen and paper? Are you able to write the number down?
I am, yes.
Okay. It's 440-338-1367.
I'm surprised you didn't know. That's why I was waiting for you to say something, but you haven't, so you didn't even
know. Normally they call into the station here and let us know. You say it was Wednesday night, but nobody let me know. So,
the whole night, and once the program is done for the evening, the next program did come on. So it was just what's right.
That's the way it always is. I've always had all the stations where on the engineers always say, they only hit you. And the reason is, it's because we don't pull any punches. We tell it the way it is. That's what you're supposed to do.
So. Okay, but I went on to the internet. God made a way where there was no way, and I listened to your program.
Well, God bless you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for calling in tonight.
Very good. All right. God bless.
God bless you.
Weekend.
You do the same. What a sweetheart. Speaking of him.
Yeah, that was a very, I enjoyed listening to that conversation, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah. She was a real, you know, we have some of the nicest ladies that listen to this. I get probably 80% of the mail I get are from the ladies out there. I'd probably say 80%. And God bless them, because they're such an encouragement. The men don't seem to want to, they don't take the time to write, and I can understand, because men are men, right? And we're different. But God bless the ladies for being who they are. All righty, the phone lines are open at 216-901-0933. 216-901-0933. John, can I jump back to where we left off there? Here, when he says, so what's the game plan? President Trump needs to declare a national security emergency for elections. He has the right to do it. He can do it. He must do it. He should do it. Don't even give it a second thought. Never look back. The people who call you names and scream the loudest and claim you're cheating, they're the ones angry because they are the cheaters. And you just took away their game plan. So why would any of us worry about the people who are trying to destroy America? And they are. They want to kill the children. They want to, you know, on all these communists they're running, one of the major things, besides all of them are pro-abortion, they all want more abortion, but they all want children to be able to go and make the decision to be mutilated. This is what they call trans surgeries on their own. These people are, that's pure evil, John. And so.
Yeah. I know the whole, Pastor Ernie, it's like everything's upside down. It's pure evil, yes. Yes. And it's unfettered. It's like wide open now, Pastor Ernie, evil.
I know. And he goes on to say the SAVE Act will never pass, as I've argued. Well, no. It's because you've got John Thune in there, and he's making sure, but nobody's supposed to know that. But we've got these rhinos that have kept it. They're selling us out like they always do. All right, here we have Ray is calling, and he's got a question about the rapture. So, hey, Ray.
Hi, Pastor. How are you doing? Just a quick statement. You know, I like Dolly Parton, but I'm not making her an idol, I think, as everybody in this country is doing right now. But I don't know if you know this or not. She has stood firm with the LGBT transgender communities. She was out there in support of them. So how does that play into, you know, her being a Christian, and does God forgive that? And does she, not that anybody can really answer who can go and who doesn't go to heaven. Does she actually go to heaven? And then the other question I have is, when you die and you're not a Christian, do you automatically go straight to hell, or does that happen at the second death?
Okay. Hell is a place. It is a place of torment, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a physical place. It's not a physical place, you know, like, but the mm-hmm. Lake of Fire is a physical place with fire and brimstone. So when you die, if you're unsaved, you go into that place called hell, okay?
Okay.
Where you're going to be in a state of torment. As far as the degrees of that torment, again, it depends on, you know, there's different degrees of torment. But here's the thing. God judges us on not just what we do, but why we do it, okay? And same thing with... just like, remember when the apostles asked him, why do you speak to these people all the time in parables? Why don't you just, you know, make it plain? Well, he said, because they're going to reject what I have. They're going to reject what I'm saying. It's better for them not to understand than it would be to understand and purposely reject me. Then their punishment will be greater. It's more... merciful.
The more you know, the more you're responsible for in the end.
Right.
Right. So, and okay.
I can't possibly see how anyone see. Sodomy, the very first time the term abomination was used to describe the sin of sodomy. Four times in the Bible, sodomites are referred to as dogs, okay?
Right.
All you got to do is read Romans chapter 1, and it tells you enough right there. So I don't know how anyone could possibly.
One quick question for you.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go on.
If you're starting in the Bible, what in your opinion is the most important book to start with? Would it be John?
Boy, that's a hard question because, you know, they all call upon one another.
Right.
What would you say? I would say, I would probably, you know, in other words, if you're talking the New Testament, I would definitely say Romans, okay?
Romans, okay.
What do you think, John?
Well, I'm very partial, Pastor Ernie, to the Gospel of John and then 1 John.
Okay.
I personally direct people to the Gospel of John and then 1 John.
Okay. And why John?
Well, because so much is brought out there that's so important about Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, interaction of the Trinity. That's all in it's in the Gospel of John.
Okay, that's all I needed to know. That's fine because I'm reading it. I'm doing an in-depth read of it right now, and it's you know it comes alive to you as you read it. So and you spend time in it as God does also. So all right, well thank you very much. I appreciate your time and your answering my questions.
Thanks, Ray. God bless. We'll be back right after this.
I know.
Yes, I know.
He holds. then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know He reigns. Because He
That was Esty, Brian, and yours truly, me. Okay, I'm going to go back to John. My idea of a national security emergency for elections is the SAVE Act on steroids. The national security emergency would mandate voter ID, proof of citizenship to vote, and limit mail-in voting. These are all completely fair and reasonable voter integrity and voter security guardrails used in every other major country in the world. A national security emergency allows the president to require all of that without Senate approval for the Save America Act, and which will never come. So more importantly, at this late date, Democrats cannot stop it with a legal challenge. The Supreme Court already decided that a national security emergency declaration can be stopped with a two-thirds vote of both the House and of both houses of Congress. That's never going to happen. Democrats will never reach that threshold. And anything less than a two-thirds vote to overturn President Trump will veto. And just like that, it's in effect for the midterms, which in my idea is my pitching to the President Trump in my 17 TV interviews with President. He has turned into a media firestorm. Democrats have gone ballistic. They're pissed. I shouldn't be saying, and they were doing it all over my idea. I won't work. It won't work. It's not legal. It's terrible. It's fascism. It won't hold up in court. Trump would be a dictator. States run elections. It's a crazy idea. Okay, well, I've heard it all. I'm crazy, all right? Crazy like a fox. No wonder Democrats are angry. Democrats know they can't stop it, and Democrats know that they can't cheat once it's the law. The Democrats know they can't win without cheating. So why they are so hysterical over my idea? That's why they're claiming it's not legal and it can't be done, because the only chance to stop it is to scream loudly in the media and to rise up their crazy, radical, violent base and try to intimidate President Trump and his advisors. Democrats want the cautious people surrounding President Trump, often afraid of their own shadow, to be intimidated and scared off. Democrats know they can't win without rigging, cheating, stealing this midterm election. And they know they can't stop national security emergency for elections. They can't beat us fair and square without cheating. They're dead in the water. And so, and that's absolute, I agree with everything he said. What do you think?
Well, Pastor Ernie, not knowing enough about the law, but if it can be done, and Trump has been so, I mean, he's literally taken that guy, what's his, Thune from North Carolina on?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Every year we have one of them, Pastor Ernie. It's, what's his name there from Kentucky? Is he dead or alive?
Oh, you're talking about the they're claiming what's his name? Just the governor there in Kentucky just wanted somebody else just wanted to make it very clear that he come out and show that he's still alive.
McConnell,
yeah, John McConnell.
Yeah. So, but we're loaded with them, and I hope it's true. If it's true, why wouldn't Trump do it?
Well, maybe he will. Maybe he will.
Right.
Okay. If he's going to,
we're running out of time.
Yeah. He can actually. Yeah. He knows the. He knows more about that, and I would think that we're going to see some things happening very rapidly. I think we're going to see some October surprises in September. Let's go to Minnesota and take John. John, you're in the air.
Hey, Pastor Ernie. I hope you're doing well. Thanks for taking my call. I think I did call a couple days ago, but I know we keep talking about, you know, the mail-in ballots, and we keep talking about, you know, the getting the voter rolls. I want all that, but there's a law that the postman keeps putting up in our apartment building that by law, all names must be clearly written on your postal box or you will receive no mail, no name, no mail. So my point is they try, like Nick Shirley talks about how, you know, we're a little off topic when we talk about voter rolls is a great it's a great goal, okay? But right now, they try to get hundreds of people to mail to get mail-in ballots from one address, okay? Well, they can't. They wouldn't even fit on the mailbox, and so that brings up my other point, which is when they do this mail-in ballot harvesting, they're talking about how they don't even necessarily get them delivered. I mean, they're manufacturing bags of these, and then they're waiting under the table until they realize in the middle of the night how many counts the Republican have, and then they just start pulling bags out. So,
yeah, well, that's what they do. How many do we have to have? We can't make it look too obvious. Let's find out how many we need to win, and we'll go right over just over the amount that we need to win. It can't be too obvious. And that's what they've been doing, and it's been very obvious to us. We know what they're doing. But, you know, in these blue states where the governor and all the courts, even the federal judges, they're all on the side of corruption, then that's why President Trump needs to pass that National Emergency Act. We can't let them get into office, and now they're planning on, the Democrats are planning on going to war. They're actually saying that it's going to be a war. They're going to take it to us and play all kinds of war games. It's going to be confusion. They're going to have confusion and everything you can imagine out there.
I got you. So Trump says agents can be sent from Washington at his request to monitor some of these voting stations, but let's remember there's a voting station, you know, every three or four blocks, for a lot of miles, let's say in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't have an answer, but it seems that Trump can win this. You can't be mailing ballots or printing names on ballots and mailing them to mailboxes that don't have somebody's name, that name on the mailbox. Okay.
Yeah. So, now they don't even have to. You see what they're doing. We saw them in Michigan where a truck comes in and they had boxes, a box truck
yes.
filled, and they had right on it Biden ballots. They were all filled out. And again, they
yeah.
were way out in front. It's going to be, it's harder for them to do it now because everybody's aware. But they're going to, they come right out and say, we're going to find a way to win. We're going to find
yeah.
a way to cheat, you know.
Thanks for everything you do, Pastor.
All righty. Well, thanks and
okay.
God bless.
Pastor Ernie.
God bless. Have a good weekend.
Yeah.
In Pennsylvania, Biden was 300 and something thousand votes down. and they made the ballots in New York, and they had a tractor trailer load of them brought into Pennsylvania. And the man that was driving the truck, and he knew exactly what was happening, he reported that to the FBI. And do you remember they wanted to, like, arrest him?
Yeah, yeah. And so, again, that's why I say everything was corrupt. Look, Merrick, remember Merrick, the attorney general, he was totally corrupt. Whatever happened to him, he's laying low. Merrick Garland. He was totally corrupt. Well, you saw they're going after Comey. Now, Comey's gotten another charge. Comey rolled over and threw his own wife under the bus here with these latest charges. And so here, and then, of course, now they're finding out to Christopher Wray, who said he was aware that there might have been some rogue agents. There might have been some rogue agents in January 6th. He was totally aware there was about 150-something that he sent in there, FBI agents. So all of this stuff is coming out now. And so there you go. All right, Big John, you ready to, you know what, this is the most important part of the program. It's what it comes down to. The only thing that's going to be, it's going to matter to anyone out there, all of you folks listening, the day will come. This will happen. There's no chance it won't. There's no chance at all there won't, okay? There's more of a chance of John and I becoming a Muslim than this will happen, okay? And so everyone out there listening, the time will come when the only thing that matters to them is their standing with the Lord Jesus. Am I right, John?
Absolutely, Pastor Ernie. And I'm glad that, yeah, you know, I want to just alert everyone, because we talked about it earlier on the show. I have a brochure. In fact, I have several brochures, but one in particular, it's called Islam and Promise of Eternal Life, which they don't have, but we have it in the scriptures. So you can email me at mct911@aol.com. In the subject, put brochures, or you can mail John McTernan, McTernan, at Post Office Box 1177, Porter, Texas, 77365. That's Porter, Texas, 77365. And there's a clear presentation of how you can have assurance of eternal life through Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross, and he was raised from the dead. Now, I'm getting tremendous feedback from the Muslims folks, or about the Muslims, that they are in terror because they have no assurance of eternal life in Islam. It's up totally to Allah. No matter what you do, it's totally up to Allah. And the people... Pastor Ernie, the description of the people in the Hadiths, the secondary Muslim book, is that they're going to be in terror on the Day of Judgment, that the sweat will be up to their ankles, up to their knees, up to their midsection, up to their mouth. Absolute terror. With us, we have absolute assurance, Pastor Ernie, because of God's love and promises in the Word of God to have eternal life. 1 John chapter 2, verse 25 says, this is the promise that he's promised us, even eternal life. It's a promise. God is a covenant keeper, and that means he doesn't break covenants, and he promises us eternal life by a covenant. And that covenant is made by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. It's a blood covenant that we have with God through his son, Jesus Christ. This is incredible, folks. And when you think of these other religions, I don't know of assurance of eternal life in any other religion. Do you, Pastor Ernie?
No, there is none. Yeah.
Right. There is none. Christianity, with the ministry of Jesus Christ, is totally unique, folks. Don't miss this opportunity. a caller called in earlier and wanted to know about hell. The end result of everyone that rejects Jesus Christ, it's called the lake of fire. That's the end result. And God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance with Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, if you're listening to me, you're a whosoever, believes in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever should not perish, but have everlasting life. His heaven is big enough for everybody. In fact, in heaven, they tell us how they got there. Revelation 5:9 says, "For you were slain." They're calling it a new song in heaven to the Lord Jesus. And it goes like this: "And you were slain and has redeemed us to God by your blood from every kindred, tongue, people, and nation." So the people in hell are there because of Jesus dying on the cross and shedding his blood. That's why they're there. And then they say it's available to every tribe, every language, every people, and every nation. Please don't miss this opportunity, folks. I mean, it's so serious. This is eternal life or eternal death. Eternal death means separation from God in what the Bible calls the lake of fire. So I want to give a simple prayer that if you mean it, then that means repentance, and you mean that you want Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
1 minute and 20 seconds. 1 minute and 20 seconds.
Okay. So the prayer can go like this. God, I repent of my sin. I turn from it, and I turn to Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe on the cross he shed his blood and paid the penalty for my sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I believe he bodily rose from the dead. And because of that, and only this reason, I have eternal life. And I can call you my God, and I can have a relationship with you as Abba, Daddy, Father. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Very good. That was a very, very good prayer, John. And again, we need prayer out there, folks. There's a lot of power in prayer. There really is. Want to remind you all out there, next week we'll be out in the fair, Geauga County, the great Geauga County Fair for you folks locally here. I will be out there on Thursday and Friday. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. It's time for us to say, thanks for being here. God bless.
God bless.
Good night.
Good night.
And always, here we come. Ready? Coming for the countdown. Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.